Welcome to the Crazy Cool Family Podcast with Don and Suzanne Manning.
A podcast where we share with you great insights about everything family from over 30 years of parenting 7 kids and over a decade of equipping parents through our Crazy Cool Family Ministry.
So let us inspire and equip you to build your best family.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Hello, Suzanne.
Hello, all you crazy cool families out there. And Don, hello to you too.
We are well into season 6 of our podcast series. Hope you have been listening to all our stuff on relationships. We've been going through so many relational topics. Today, we're going to talk about, I guess it encompasses the marriage line, the parent to kid line.
For sure. Yeah. And how those kind of sometimes collide. You know, ideally, it would be great if they would just, you know, work in unison together as we work on our marriage and our parenting together. But a lot of the times it becomes a collision because they're as married people, we're so radically different. And sometimes that shows up in the way we parent our kids.
So I guess the theme or the title of this one might be how to be a team when parenting our kids.
Oh,
you know,
how to be
on the same team. So, because we get a lot of questions. I mean, a ton of questions on this topic. Like, what do you do when your spouse disciplines your kids differently than you? That's one of the questions we get a lot.
Yeah, treats your kids differently. Yeah. Or basically what they're asking is, what do you do when your spouse parents differently than you do?
Well, and it's usually either one of two things. Either the permissive one is saying, my husband or wife is too harsh. Usually that's most of, you know, stereotyping. It's the wife that thinks their husband's too harsh. Not all the time, but sometimes, most of the time that's the case.
Sometimes though, there is the case where the dad's just fun. And the mom's like,
yeah,
you've
true.
Got to be the heavy.
Yeah,
you've got to come
true.
In and discipline the kids because I'm doing it all day long and I need a break. And
well,
the dad's like, no, we're here to have fun.
Well, and that's when like the mom thinks they're always the bad guy.
Yes.
And so
exactly.
They really think, oh, and you know, he just comes in and plays with them and
yes.
We've just a big party and I have to be the bad guy. And then
I never get to be fun with them.
Yeah. And
and so there's that. So there's actually,
which sometimes is like the function of the parent, you know, in some ways.
Exactly. Well, maybe you're not fun.
So, or, you know, a lot of times if another thing we hear a lot is my spouse is too easy on them and therefore I have to be hard. I have to offset that. And then I become the bad guy and all that because
yes.
Otherwise he or she is too lenient. And so what do we do? And so, or, you know, another thing that happens is that, you know, one parent wants to spank a lot or one parent has a harsh tone and the other one feels like they have to compensate by coming alongside and kind of repairing
coddling,
the damage
yes.
and they don't, you know, so it's so many differences. And so we're going to talk about that today, how to be, let me just set this up even more because, and you talk into this too, Suzanne, but we are about as opposite as can be. Suzanne and I are.
Well, yeah, and I was just going to say that, I mean, if you were to put us in one of those categories, then I would probably be the easy and you would be the hard.
Yeah, especially when we started, I think that was definitely the case. Although, you know, there were certain things that you just were really adamant about. And then you would just be all over them sometimes about, you know, oh my goodness, why are you doing this? You know,
for sure. Respect and honor was a big deal for me. Like they didn't yell at me. They didn't talk ugly to me. I didn't allow that.
But we had our differences, so many differences in the way what we thought was really good and what we thought was bad. And we had, so we've come a long way both in parenting styles as well as what we've had. Now, the good news is we're both believers.
Right.
And so we both really did share a common cause of we want our kids to love Jesus. We wanted to do what God said. So that's one of those, you know, a lot of times that we get parents that say, my husband's not a believer.
Right.
And so we'll get to that one at the end more. But right now we're going to, you know, kind of talk about if you're got two believers that are trying things, and it doesn't have to be perfect believers, but believers that are out. And then towards the end, we'll start talking about we talk about what happens when you have an unbelieving husband or spouse. We've got some ways I think you can address that as well. Okay.
Yeah. And so one of the things I wanted to add too is one of the things that we did because we were so radically different when we approached parenting and our marriage and our relationship and all the things was that we went and got educated neutrally. So we read parenting books and marriage books too, but we went to parenting conferences, marriage conferences too. And when they presented the stuff to us neutrally, then it wasn't me saying we should do this or him saying we should do that. And so then we were able to build a foundation of ownership that was in common compared to it was my idea or your idea.
Well, and I think that really, that's true. We did that. And I think the overall theme of this, and again, we're going to talk about the unbelieving spouse when there's just really different values at the end. But right now, when we're talking about how do you build a team? And it really is about being, we are in this. One of the things to talk about with your spouse is, we're in this together.
Yes.
We are a team. And everything we're going to talk about at first, you know, in the first part of this is about building your team together and how to, there's ways you can build your team. And even if you do have the, you know, distant unbelieving spouse, you can still even work some of these to build your team. But especially if you have two believers and you have two people that are imperfect for one, they are different. I don't know about you, but I almost every couple we talk to, the spouses are really different.
Mm-hmm.
And they have different personalities. They have, you know, it is really true that kind of opposites attract. So, you know, so Suzanne, what do you want to start with why, of how to build the team?
Okay, I can't decide between the two. Oh, but since you started talking about differences, then let's go with that first. And so I just want to encourage you that differences are good. Differences are great. Differences are God-given. He wants us to be, I would even say, radically different so that our children are exposed to different personalities, different training styles, different even values and opinions, if you will, when it comes to how they approach the things of this world. And so I just want to encourage you, if you're not if, but when your spouse does things that you don't agree with, then press in and see what value is that bringing to the relationship that they have with your child.
Well, we were just talking about that, for example, that we would say in our relationship that I was more concerned about character, especially at first, and we kind of merged them together over time, as we'll right. tell you how to do that in just a minute. But I was more concerned with character. Were they going to work hard? Are they going to have, they're not going to lie. They're going to do things that are right. We're going to stand up for our values, you know, things like that. And while you, Suzanne, were more concerned with relationship, well, how did they feel and what was it, you know, and were they connecting and things like that? Speak into that a little bit.
Well, and so what I love about that is that Don had the big picture. I mean, and he saw the vision of who he wanted them to be and who we were going to mold them to be. But I was in the day-to-day molding of that. And so while I appreciated his value, I was much more focused on the relationship. For example, if we were out at Chick-fil-A and we're eating and we get up to leave, then my supporting his value would be, okay, we want to leave the place better than we found it. So clean up all the trash in our area. Do you see trash anywhere else? And so that was how I would maybe implement his value. But really what I was doing was relating to them. Okay, this is what we do with our environment. This is how we take care of our environment. This is how we take care of each other. Help your brother put his stuff in the trash. And so it was I think it was a partnership, actually, which in the beginning, it became a me against you versus mentality. But like you said, later on, it kind of merged into creating kids that have that character and value.
When you have those differences, how do you merge them together? Okay, so because first of all, what Suzanne said is right. Differences are good. God created differences. Look at nature. Look at our bodies. Look at the church. Look at wherever you do. Everywhere God says we bring differences together for the common good. And that happens in our family too. All your kids are different. They have different personalities. God could have made them all into clones. And really, he could have made it where we didn't even have children. We just birthed adults. And, you know, and so everybody was the same.
But, that wouldn't be any fun at all.
No, exactly.
Toddlers are hilarious.
Yes. And so how do you take the differences in the spouses and bring them into unity? Well, what we found out is we have to focus on values, not methods.
So what do you mean by values? Explain
that. Well, a value is simply this. It's something that's important to you. And so it, when we have a, we agree, so that's like when we go to the parenting conferences and they say, you know, we should do it this way or that way or whatever. It doesn't, we can do it different ways, but we can have the same values and we can share values. And so we may be able to, as an example, a value could be, I want my kid to love the Lord.
Right.
Okay, so then Suzanne might do that by talking with them about God a lot. I may want to do a Bible study with them.
Or scripture memory. Or like scripture you memorize so much scripture with the kids.
And so both of those are great. You know, I don't need to say, Suzanne, you know what? You should really memorize scripture more with the kids.
Right. That's what you, yeah.
You know, and you should, you know, well, Don, you need to, you know, relate to, you're being too hard on them with the scripture memory. You know, they don't, they're not ready for that or whatever.
Right.
You know, you kind of allow, again, you allow what the other spouse is doing in a way. And so when you talk about it, we're like, well, what's the value in that? Oh, well, the value is I want my kid to know scripture, but so they'll know, have a good handle on the Lord. Well, I want my kid to know, you know, God says to love him with all his heart. I want to, and to love others. I want to teach them to do that. Great. We have different, you know, and together our child gets a better, like Suzanne was saying, a better representation of God from seeing it on
That's two different sides
than he does if they only saw one.
That's good. And I was thinking of another value that we had was grades. Like we had a value that our children would have A's and B's. I mean, we just, and so how I would come about that is I would help them earn their A's and B's, whether it was helping them with a project or studying their spelling words. And Don was definitely tagged in when it came to their grade. I mean, when it came to their math problems, he helped them with that, but he would check their grades, or he would not, you didn't follow them closely, but you would be much more interested in the numbers of the grades. I could care less about grades. That to me, that was just a number and it didn't matter. And so that was how two different methods how we went after it. So we didn't ever ground our kids for bad grades, but we always, you know, worked together to bring them up to making the grades that we had as a high value.
And what happens is, as you start talking about values and you're seeing differences as good, you start to see that your spouse is bringing some things of value to the deal, to the relationship and to the children. So for example, sports. So Suzanne,
yeah, that's a good one. I'm glad you brought that one up.
I love sports, and I coach.
Well, and you're competitive.
A little, and so,
I want to do is win, win, win. That's his motto.
I coached everything my kids did up through grade school for sure. Not in the middle school or anything like that.
Disagree. Well, middle school basketball for McKenzie.
I coach varsity basketball
and varsity basketball for Molly. Yes, so but, whatever. But
that was the exception. For the most part, I coached a lot of teams and really loved sports and I really felt like that, you know, and my thought process was, if a kid is going to play a sport, we're going to help them be their best. And they're going to make the practices and they're going to work hard. If we didn't play the sport, fine, let's don't play it. But if we're going to play it, we're going to be our best and we're going to figure out how to be good at it. And I thought that helped the child, you know, learn how to work hard. There was many values in there as well. It was just fun, you know, and the competition was fun and everything else. Suzanne, not so much. So,
like, how was I different? I want to hear it from your perspective.
So, well, you know, I mean, they, you know, there's something going on. What if we didn't make this practice? I mean, oh my goodness, we're not going to make a practice. What are you talking about?
Because remember, I'm highly relational and Don's achiever. Yeah. And so he's like, no, we've got to get it done. And I'm like, yeah, but we've got this. Well, I can't think of an event right now that would trump practice because there were not very many, but sometimes something would come along.
A death in the family, maybe.
I mean, that was legit. My mom did die during basketball. Anyway, all that to say is that I would definitely put the relationship, the circumstances, the situation above all practices.
Let's just say
the
bar was not very high for us to have to. I mean,
Don would have to convince me. No, the whole team needs our kid there. Our kid needs to be there to pull his weight. To you know, to have well, to was, put to have her role to do her part. Valid. I mean, valid.
And it was to me, it was like you had a responsibility.
Yes.
There was all those things, and it's not that Suzanne just valued. Okay, let's dig this in because I'm not bashing her at all. What I did was I learned to lower my bar a little bit. You know, and so I learned that.
Because if the kid's running 102 fever, people don't even want to be around him, but he needs to be at practice. But we did work together. And Don's right. You show up, you do things. You are, if you're a part of an organization, then you pull your weight. And so he was right.
But I could also be a little bit overboard, maybe more than a little bit sometimes. You know, I mean, I could be a little bit overboard with it. And so together, here's what we want to point out to you is that together we had a good balance. And so together, and we realized that, and was it frustrating sometimes? Yes. And, you know, and especially like, you know, here's another thing that I think is super cool that I've learned from over the years. Suzanne valued rest.
Yes.
And so, for example, and I resisted it at first, and I was like, you know, rest, Sabbath, sleep, you know, I mean.
Nap's a waste of time, to quote Don, not Suzanne.
but over time.
When other people told him that rest was really valuable.
I don't know if it was just other
people.
Well,
you watched me do it.
But I think that over time it was like, I learned to value rest more. And today, you know, I realized I value that much more than I did 20 years ago, let's say. And I learned some things by watching what my wife did because, you know, I saw it because I started to ask, okay, what's the value of rest and why do we do that? And it, you know, well, there's so many health benefits. So that's another thing. Like, for example, Suzanne's always been more into health and, you know, the way we deal with, you know, supplements and things to help our kids.
Well, because 7 kids at the doctor's office is very expensive. Well, so we had to learn how to do some things differently.
And so I learned a lot from that, you know, things that I didn't grow up with, things that were not, normal to me. But learn the value of those things. And so my point is that when you look at differences, so here's the deal. Suzanne and I both want our children to be healthy.
Yes.
So okay.
There's
so
the value.
There's the value. And so now she did it differently than I grew up with or anything else. So what do I do with that? Do I go, oh gosh, you know,
take the kid to the doctor already.
Exactly. Or, you know, man, you know, Suzanne's always doing all this stuff and I could have talked, but instead we tried to learn from each other. And there were times that I said, Suzanne, the child needs to go to the doctor.
You never said that, but you always were very honoring and you would say, do you think it's time to take the child to the doctor? Because you submitted to my knowledge that I had gained on, you know, had read all the books and done all the research and done all the things when it came to health. And
so
you would say,
I'm getting credit for this more than I should probably, but.
That you would say, do you think it's time to take the kid to the doctor? And
yeah. And so the whole point is how do you work through the differences? And really just, it goes back to so much of the things we talk about with the kids. Are you asking questions? Are you looking at values? And so as you look at it from a value standpoint, instead of a method standpoint, I hope that's what you get out of this. If anything, that you look at it from that, you realize differences are good and we focus on values instead of methods. And we really appreciate, we try to at first look at it through the appreciation of what, because here's another thing I see is that there are times when parents are just being manipulative or they're just mean or whatever, but most of the time a parent has good intentions for their child. Whatever they're doing, they have good intentions. And so even if they're harsh with the child, they believe that what they're doing is making that child listen, or they're making that child change, or whatever. They may not have the right solution to it, but they have good intentions. And realizing they're different, they have good intentions, you start to look at them with more compassion. And then it also takes it away from when you get away from methods and focus on values, it makes it less personal.
And so, and just to add to that, to build the parenting team, one of the things that we want to do is we want to help our spouse be the best version of themselves. And so you said less personal as we press into what our spouse is doing or how they're doing it. Like if Don walked in and he saw me being harsh with the girls, then he would say, okay, girls, let's go in the backyard and play for a little while. You know, knowing that my introvert self needed a little bit of space just to get dinner on the table and didn't want to deal with a bunch of little kids anymore. And so he saw that and he did what it took to help me be my best self. Or he would say, oh, okay, I can see she needs some encouragement right here. And so, hey, I just want you to know you're the best mom in the whole. I mean, I just see how you're connecting with the girls and it's just so amazing. Or
And so then it becomes like, did we ever fight about parenting differences? And the answer is absolutely yes. You know, I mean, we definitely, we're giving you the things we learned that worked.
Right.
But I mean, man, and especially, I always tell parents, I wish you could have seen me when I was a 5-year parent. I mean, it was not very pretty. We had to learn some things. And so if you're not doing this right now, then it's okay. You know, what we're trying to do is give you some things that we learned over time with a lot of fights and a lot of, you know, I right. mean, and a lot of disagreement. And, you know, there was many times that we didn't agree on things and so what we want to do is we, what were you going
to
say?
Well, I was just going to say, I was just going to talk about some of the things that we tried really hard never to do.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
So as you parent,
I was
going to
talk about that too.
Well, you were leading right into it. Exactly. And so I thought that I would. One of the things that we would never do is we would never like disagree with each other and whatever it is they were doing with the child in front of the child.
Yeah.
And so like, and well, when Don said the first 5 years of parenting, the first year when, because I brought Molly to the marriage with us. And so he started with a 2-year-old. Once again, very hard. All of you out there that know that you have to have that newborn infant baby to really mm-hmm. love and appreciate them before they get to terrible 2. And so he started parenting at a 2-3-year-old and had never parented before, never had been around small children, didn't really have any idea what to do with them. And he's, you know, coming from the male perspective is you do what I say. And so we had a lot of conflict there. And so one of the issues was I became Mama Bear and I would protect Molly from his big bad grizzly bear, you know. And so we had to work on that. We had to figure out, okay, I'm not going to say, Don, don't do that in front of Molly because that confuses the child. I mean, out of respect for my spouse, but more importantly, out of the relationship that I wanted, you know, we want our children to have with our spouse. We cannot talk down to our spouse in front of our kids. Yeah. We can't talk bad about them in front of our kids. Like we can't say, oh, you know, Dad, he's just so harsh. You cannot paint a picture that your spouse is anything but pretty amazing for your kids.
And I think we definitely did that and we learned not to do that. We learned that I think so often we learned, you know, we would get in arguments in front of our children sometimes. And then we learned that, and we were taught that. That's where we went and sought counsel.
Exactly.
But we were taught that, man, you just don't ever, you disagree in private. And you allow your spouse, unless the spouse is just doing something horrible.
Right, assuming that's not happening.
I mean, what you do is you talk about it in private. And again, if you can talk about it in terms of, you know, like one of the things that I had to learn a lot as a young parent, and it was about the danger of my anger with my girls in particular. So, because we had 4 girls first. And so, you know, Suzanne would get frustrated with me because I would get angry with the girls. And sometimes she would defend them, like she said, or kind of mama bear them. And that would frustrate me because I feel like she was tying my hands and wasn't able, you know, didn't understand what, you know, was being too easy, all those things. But what we learned over time is that she learned to let me go in public or me to let her go with whatever situation was happening. And then we learned to talk about it in private. And to talk about it in terms of, you know, do you realize the impact of your anger? Or Suzanne, when you let them do that, you are creating your own problem.
Right.
You know, you're creating
your situation. More work for you.
You don't like that you have to yell at them, but you're not, you know, whatever. She would say, do you realize the damage you're doing? You realize Molly's going to withdraw from you or Madeline's going to withdraw. So all those things, but doing it in private. And so you're not showing division on the front end, kind of letting them, be themselves. It goes back to, they're going to learn by, you know, as we help each other make the best version of themselves. You know, that I want to also deal with what you just said. When you're not with the other spouse and you're just with the kids, you always want to praise your spouse. What you just alluded to just a minute ago, well, you know, we just won't tell Mom about that.
Right.
No, that just doesn't work. I mean, you're creating division.
Well, and I mean, and then just to kind of help you understand what you're doing is when you tell your child that, well, we just won't tell mom about that, or we won't tell dad about that. What you're doing is you're telling your child it's okay not to tell you something, because that's how they interpret it. Oh, when something's not good or right or how they want it to be, then I don't tell them. And so while you're while your words are saying don't tell your father or your mother, what they're hearing is don't talk about this to anybody.
Yeah, which also
which
leads
is going to backfire on
which
you.
Which is also leads to, and I think over time we learn to do this well, is we don't let our kids divide us. So, for example, if a child comes to us and asks us something, we would say first, what'd your mom say about that? You know, and so because they may be coming to us for a different answer, hoping we will be more lenient or let them do or whatever. And so, and if, you know, by asking that question, they would say, well, mom said no. Okay, you know, I'm going to support mom. Now, if they asked me first and I said yes, then mom has to say, you know, then mom would say, I don't know that I'd want to do that or whatever, but okay, because dad said it was okay. And again, unless it's something that's just really, you know, the exception to the rule is I said it was okay to go over to a friend's house and Suzanne knows this friend's not good for them or something like that. Then she says, hey, I got to step in, but, you know, but.
Well,
but that's the exception.
Well, and things like that would come up, and I would actually say to the child, let me talk to your dad first, which is huge for the child to hear, because what the child is hearing is that mom and dad care about me. They care more about me than they do about the yes or the whatever it is that they want. And what they hear is that, oh, mom and dad are unified. They're in this together. And so there were a lot of things that so many things that I would need Don's perspective on. And I would say, I need to ask dad about that. And he could come in from a different point of view completely and be able to give me input into, well, I think that it's a good idea that they do, you know, like summer camp, for example. We had gone to a conference and they had said, don't send your kids to summer camp. And so I'm thinking, we don't send our kids to summer camp. And Don's like, well, but they're going with our church and they're going with the church group. And we know the youth pastor and we love them. And it's a great group of kids. And I think that they should go. And it's like, you know what? You're right. They should.
And so like that's just, that example is something where Suzanne didn't want to hurt the kids. She wasn't.
I always wanted to say yes.
No, I mean, but she didn't.
Because I want you to have the experience.
She doesn't want them to keep them away from summer camp because she wants to hurt them. You know, she wants to do it to protect them.
Right.
And so many times that's the issues. You're dealing with protection versus freedom, you know, and there's not.
Remember, Madeline wanted to go to China at 13.
Yeah.
And we're like, no. Or I was like, no. And Don's like, yes.
Well, because people think you're so weird. And I need to explain that one. But I mean, one, it's asking the Holy Spirit. And that's another thing you can do is pray together and come together on decisions. But, you know, it's like, I saw there was a lot of protection around that trip, and you know, there's a lot of good people going and people we trusted. And so, it was, you know, there's just different circumstances of where you're always going to have different opinions. And so how do you resolve those to again, we're building a team,
right?
So, okay. So,
any more nevers?
Well, I'm going to flip it before we go to the unbelieving spouse. I want to flip it to also there are always, and there's always, you know, look for ways to praise your spouse in front of your kids and praise their parenting. Isn't your mom amazing? You know, how she, you know, she really is, you know, she finds a way to say yes. And, you know, she finds a way to, you know, instead of so often there is this tension in the home of mom doesn't do things the way I want it done. And you know, dad doesn't do things the way
yes.
I want it done and all those things that, and the kids pick up on that and it just creates a negative culture in the home. You can flip that by just saying, wow, you know, man, you know, Suzanne would say, isn't it amazing your dad coaches your sports teams? And, you know, some dads are, you know, at work every night and even miss the games. And your dad's actually coaching the team, you know, things like that, that you can just really praise your kids and praise your spouse in that way and build that team in that way.
Yeah, I just want to touch down really quick on something that you said about the tension between you and your spouse. Please know that your children feel that. And I just encourage you to do whatever it takes to press into that tension and find out what's going on and what's at the base of that. And chances are it's not parenting together. Chances are it's something else. There's a unifying factor between the two of you. And so I highly encourage you to pay attention to your marriage. Be intentional with your marriage, because your kids are picking up on that. Which I think kind of leads into the...
Well, I want to end with this one. And it seems like ending on a negative, which, you know, we're not thrilled about that. But it's just a real issue that comes up. And so we don't want to bypass it. We didn't want to spend the whole podcast on it, but I think right. It warrants some attention. And that is, the mom really believes, or the dad, well, it's usually the mom. I would say 90% of the time it's the mom. They believe that they want to be relational. You know, we teach relationships, culture, you know, building relationships, building connection. And the mom really wants to do that, but the dad is not that interested in that. Now, again, mm-hmm. I'm stereotyping a little bit, but it really is about 90%. So how does a spouse handle that when, or I guess from a, you know, another side, it could be the spouse is just, and this does happen 50-50 probably, the spouse becomes disinterested in the family, right. You know, where they're checking out, or they're, you know, they're not engaged, and there's not a divorce situation yet, but it's pretty rough in the marriage situation. How does a spouse handle that? What are your thoughts first?
Yeah. One of the things that we had always been told is that if you are a Christian in a marriage where you're, you know, unequally yoked, if you will, if your spouse is not a Christian or not a believer, then you do everything you can in your own life to present Jesus to them, meaning that you're not working on your spouse at all. You're working on yourself. You're becoming the most loving, kind, thoughtful, patient person that you can be to your spouse. So much so that they realize, wow, you're different. You're incredible. Like, what is it? How are you like this? I mean, where are you getting the strength to be like
this?
How
do you have peace? How do you have joy?
All the fruits of the spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. I mean, come on, goodness, gentleness, self-control. I mean, if we want our spouse to be attracted to us and to Jesus in us is really what we want. We want that more than anything else. Then we have to have those fruits. And so I can't even tell you how many wives I have told, stop nagging your husband. Stop criticizing your husband. Stop finding his faults. Every time a fault comes up in your head about your spouse, whether it's from marriage standpoint or relationship standpoint or parenting standpoint, you flip it to and find a positive and start speaking out those positives and watch him change. Because more than anything else, our husbands want us to be their number one cheerleader. Our husbands want us to think that they hung the moon. And so many times, all we do is gripe and complain about how they didn't get anywhere close to the hanging the moon.
Right. I think that's true. And I think that always to encourage your spouse, it's also that, you know, realize your spouse, again, we talk to a lot of parents, and usually this is the case, your spouse loves your kids. I mean, a lot of times we see even the marriage is breaking up, but they still love their kids.
And
But they're struggling. They're struggling with issues in their own life. And you know, if they don't, and sometimes they just don't know. And to me, that's easier to deal with than, I think we assign motive to them and they're out to get my kids. They're out to, and we start to mother bear them or whatever, as Suzanne was saying, or we start to do protection mechanisms. It's like, man, if you can just realize that, man, they just don't know. And so how are you going to help them understand? Well, part of that's just being an example, like Suzanne's saying. And then, you know, just engaging in what does Jesus do? Jesus says, you know, it's easy to love those who love you.
Right.
What's hard is, and what we need Jesus's help in, is to love those who persecute us or who do things that, and many times, you know, in a marriage that's got an unbelieving spouse or things, it can definitely be persecution, feel like persecution. Mm-hmm. And Jesus says that we are to go to the Holy Spirit to get to realize that God loves us and that we get our identity from them. And out of that, we overflow, Romans 15:13 says, with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I just encourage parents to really go seek the Lord and say, Lord, how do I handle this? What is the best way for me to love this husband or whatever, husband or wife, I should say. I think God will give you some answers there.
Yeah. And so one of the things that we tell parents all the time is that you want, when it talks about culture, is you want the culture in your home to be the best place. You want your kids to want to come home. And I would extend that to your spouse too. You want your culture, the environment in your home, to be fun and exciting. And so you don't want your husband to dread coming home and having to deal with a grouchy, cranky wife and bratty kids. I mean, that's not what we're building at all. Nobody wants that, actually. Nobody wants to come home to that. And so what would it take to make your environment to where your husband can't wait to get home? I mean, I'm so excited to get home and play with the kids and take them in the backyard and swing them and eat my wife's dinner. And I mean, and she's not going to be grouchy and the house isn't going to be messy. And please don't hear me say that I'm calling you to perfectionism. I am not. It's actually not about the things at all that I'm talking about. It's about the feelings of it. It's about the relationship. It's about the conversations and the interactions that you have. That's what we're talking about. And you can control that.
Yeah, and finally, you know, a lot of times what parents are asking us is that my spouse is not a believer. What do I do about that? You know, I want to instill the values, my Christian values, and they don't. God's big. God's good. And so, you know, and just like we have parents come to us and say, hey, my teenager doesn't believe or whatever, and they're going down a bad path, and we're like, God's big, God's good. And so, and realize that just by you, when you do the things that Suzanne's telling you to do, when you are light and you are joy and you are peace, you are having influence in your kids, and God's bigger than any unbelievers in the situation, and he's also, you're also having influence on that unbelieving spouse. And so part of it is just believing that, because it feels like we get parents come to us and say, you know, because my spouse is not a believer or whatever, I don't have any hope. And I want to just tell you, have hope.
Well, your spouse isn't the one that's giving you hope. So stop looking to them to give you the hope, and go to the creator of the universe, the hope giver.
Yeah, we get that from single parents even. Oh my goodness, you know, it's not, I don't have this spouse over here, so it's not complete or whatever. It's like, no, God's complete. God is good, and he is going to, and so we want to just give you, and one, we empathize, because it's certainly easier, certainly better if you have a believing spouse. So let us acknowledge your pain there, but also just to say that there's hope, and there's always hope in God. Jesus said, you know, with God, all things are possible. Nothing's impossible with God. And so we believe that for you, and believe that as you walk through that in that situation, if that's you. So build a team, first of all. Let's go back to it and say, build a team. Even with an unbelieving spouse, we're looking to build a team. We're looking to agree on values, realize differences are good. And so we hope this has helped every parent. And last thing I'll say is this. I always say it's the last thing, and it's not. Even the last thing I'll say is this. Every parent is different. Every marriage has different spouses. So everybody has these issues. So don't think you're alone in your in what you're dealing with. But if you'll focus on the fact that differences are good, agree on values, and you will start to see the benefit of your spouse, then you will see that you will get more on the same team and you will parent better together. So thank you for listening, and we hope it's been helpful to you. And as always, go be crazy, crazycoolfamily.com.